Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to another episode of Prophetic News on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Elnor, which is also on Rapture Ready Radio, on Blog Talk Radio. They have programs every night, different hosts there, and some great programs there for your edification and for your Bible teaching. So check out some of those programs. I think you'll enjoy it. And don't forget our brother, the Wolf Tracker from Reformation News and Daily Manna from Heaven. Also, some great programs there. So be listening for those. I also want to remind you that I have a book available, and this book really was written. It's basically a historical account, I would say, of some of the many famous preachers days gone by and some today. I do document the rise and fall of many of them, including Oral and Richard Roberts and Paul and Randy White, Benny Hinn, the Cirillos, the Copelands, T.D. Jakes. There's many, many chapters in there. It's over 200, close to 300 pages. So, and the book is Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? And we know we can't bribe God, right? No matter what the false prophets and the false teachers tell you, we never had to bribe our parents to do anything for us. And we certainly don't have to bribe God, who gave his only begotten son. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. And so we don't practice giving to get. We want people to come to realize that giving is about love. And we want to have a reformation in the area of giving and the area of money, where people teach you or they want you to believe that there's get rich quick schemes and you don't have to work and you don't have to have integrity and you can just give money to some crazy preacher and God Almighty just meets all your needs that way. But it doesn't work that way. And we know that many people have been hurt and disappointed in the body of Christ because they were led to believe things that aren't scriptural. And we have to question everything that we're being taught. We have to go back to the Word of God and check it out, just like good Bereans, to see if what people are telling us is so, because there's so many false prophets that have gone out into the world. And we see the carnage that has been left behind in the church world and in the political world. It's kind of everything's kind of working together in these perilous times that we live in. But anyway, that book, How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings, and they do, is available on Amazon and Lulu, Barnes and Noble, several places. But I recommend it to especially your friends that you're trying to help get out of the Word of Faith or the prosperity gospel or the seed sowing thing or the tithing thing. It's a good book. All the facts in the book have been documented and checked. So we don't base anything we say on rumor or innuendo. We only base things on facts and what's been reported accurately, also what the people have said out of their own mouth. So But today, I wanted to talk about a few things. I wanted to mention, because there's so much confusion, I think, about the Obamacare and people's health care and whether the government should be responsible for your health care. Well, no. Because tax money has to go for these programs. And I know I've mentioned this before, but for some of you that haven't heard this, now my parents worked all their lives. They were hardworking, worked in factories, very hardworking people. And they worked so that they could have a good retirement and to be able to enjoy their retirement year. So they were paying a $600 deductible for the both of them on their health insurance before Obamacare came to be. $600 deductible. After Obamacare was passed, now these are two people in their 80s, okay, who worked all their life and deserved their benefits and shouldn't have to support somebody else's family when they have their own family to take care of. So then they were paying $3,600 a year deductible. So basically, what they did with this program, which is socialism, is rob from people that have worked and give to people that don't work or haven't worked or don't want to take care of their own responsibilities, which, I mean, sometimes people do get sick and they can't work. So that happens. But there's already government programs in place for that. So it isn't fair to take money from elderly retired people, which many, I'm sure, elderly people would testify to, that all their deductibles went up. Some of their benefits were changed. They were put in new programs even without their consent. You had to take these programs whether you wanted them or not. Everything changed. And it didn't change for the better. It might have changed for the better, say, for 20 million people, but there's over 300 million people in this country. And when you get married and you make children, you have to be responsible for your own family. You can't expect the government or other people to take care of you. It's our responsibility, especially as Christians, to pay our bills and to do what's right, to get up every day and to work to the best of our ability and to take care of our responsibilities because we made them. And it's a bad attitude. And we see this attitude is very prevalent today, the attitude of lawlessness and rebellion. And I'm going to do whatever I want. And then you have to take care of me or else. And it's wrong. This bill affected my family, which I'm sure it affected many other families. But health care is not a right. It's not up to the government to take care of you. It's basically people have to learn how to take care of themselves, to eat right and to sleep, try to sleep right and to do certain things so that they can stay healthy. But of course, sometimes things do happen. We know that, that are beyond our control. But I know from my own experience, I have a family member that has diabetes, but yet they don't stop eating sugar. They drink sodas and things. And then they're wondering why their diabetes doesn't get better. So a lot of times people are their own worst enemy when it comes to their health. But that's one aspect of this the Affordable Care Act, which is not affordable. I mean, you know, it certainly didn't become affordable for my family, and I'm sure for many other families. So hopefully they'll be able to get something where also people are penalized. There's basically a tax that was explained by the Democratic Party, which, and I'm sure probably both parties, but the penalty and the tax if you don't get health insurance is a subsidy, and that's what they said. It's a subsidy to pay for the people, for other people to get health insurance. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense, but it's socialism. socialism didn't work in Europe. It doesn't work. Socialism does not work. Democracy and a free economy, keep the government out of your life for the most part. They can provide services and things, but you don't want this thing they call the nanny state, where the government takes over your whole life and they start controlling everything you do. You definitely don't want that. But you see that we have laws in this country. We have laws for illegal immigration, where if you have to come to this country legally, which only makes sense. You have to have law and order. You have to have rules and regulations. God does. So, of course, governments have to, too. So, but now we have, I saw yesterday on the news, there's a sheriff in the state of Texas, a lady sheriff that was elected. She was an elected official. And the governor of Texas was on one of the news programs, and he was saying that she's decided that she's going to have a sanctuary city, so to speak, where even though she had criminals in jail in her county, illegal aliens in her county jail, she released them. She wouldn't hold them. And one of them was actually in jail for raping a child. But this is how crazy it is. And so I'm thinking to myself, doesn't the governor of the state have any authority in his state? What's going on with him? Why doesn't he just arrest this woman for not obeying the laws of the land? A sheriff disobeying the law and releasing criminals out onto the streets. And also the state of Maryland has declared themselves a sanctuary state. We don't care what the federal government says. We're going to take people no matter where they come from. And we're going to shelter them. But who's going to be responsible ultimately? Because before, if they're coming here with basically the clothes on their back, they're going to need welfare before they can get going. They're going to need housing. They're going to need food. Who's going to pay for all that? Ultimately, the taxpayers are going to pay for it. So I don't want to pay for things. I don't want to pay for other people's families unless I feel led to or I want to, but I don't want people just coming and taking what they want because we're supposed to share or whatever. But I think, you know, sharing should be up to us, right? We don't want people just walking onto our property and, you know, using our lawnmower or using our garden hose or whatever, you know, just coming and taking whatever they want. But it's getting so bizarre. But like I said, it kind of parallels what's happening in the church. We have lawlessness in the church. We have these false prophets and false teachers that have run amok, wreaking havoc everywhere they go, and promoting a false gospel that really doesn't exist, and creating chaos. And so that's the same thing that you have with all these socialist programs and all the welfare programs, and people feeling like they're entitled to things because I'm born and I got married and I had children, so I'm entitled. Well, I don't know. My family and probably most of your families, we weren't brought up that way. Most of our parents worked very hard and they supported their families. They did what they could, whatever they could, to provide for the families that they made. But they didn't expect anybody else to be responsible for them. So I don't get it. There was also a story that I found interesting in, it says in 24 of the nation's 50 states, at least half of the babies born during the latest year on record had their births paid for by Medicaid. 24 of the 50 states, at least 50% of the babies were born on Medicaid. So what does that say? that says that most of the, a lot of people are coming here and they're having babies. They're not citizens, but when they have a baby here, the baby becomes a citizen of this country. Now, it says New Mexico led all states with 72% of the babies born in 2015 having their births covered by Medicaid. Now, Medicaid is funded by tax dollars. Arkansas ranked second with 67%. Louisiana ranked third with 65%. And three states, Mississippi, Nevada, and Wisconsin, tied for fourth place with 64% of babies born there covered by Medicaid. Now, this puts a tremendous strain on the economy, on states' economies, on local municipalities. When I look at my own county here, which is a small, well, not a very big county in Florida, but they keep adding these fees onto county services, but they're adding the fees because it's a tax. It's a way to raise taxes to pay for these programs. And it really isn't right. It really isn't right. But, you know, we have lawlessness. We don't have even sheriffs and county officials won't obey the law of the land. And in open rebellion, I don't see it getting any better. I really don't. I don't really see it getting any better. And then you have somebody like John McCain. Now, I thought this was interesting. John McCain is making a speech in Brussels the other day, and this is his quote: "In a new world order, under enormous strain, and in the titanic struggle with forces of radicalism, we can't stand by and lament. We've got to be involved." Now, that's a strange thing to say, isn't it? A new world order under enormous strain, but we can see that all of this is building to the end of the age, to the coming of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, and people are going to be looking for a savior. They're going to be looking for somebody to save them from the chaos that's coming. They have a saying, people in the New World Order, they have a saying called order out of chaos. They like to create chaos. And then they're going to have the answer on how to rescue you out of it. So these kind of terms, when you hear people saying these kind of things about the New World Order and about socialism, and these are all buzzwords really that we need to be aware of, because they signal to us the times that we're living in. And we are living in perilous times. And a few weeks ago, remember, I did a program about Paula White, and she had this, I called it gangsta preachers, the gangsters, they're gangsters, you know, stick them up when you go over there to church, stick them up. That's all you do is don't bring your purse when you go there, and don't bring your checkbook, just come as you are, because when you leave, you probably won't have anything left in your checkbook. They'll get you. My advice is, don't go to these places. Quit supporting these people. And they'll go. Many of them will have to go away because they won't have a way to fund their illicit activities. But for people that still insist on going to these places, just don't go with a purse. Don't go with a checkbook. Don't go with a wallet, because they'll get you. They brought this guy in, this Prophet Pempe, and he was doing a stick up over there. I'm telling you, I never saw anything like it. He got one lady to write out a check on the spot for $50,000. He got another couple. They looked like they might have been in their 30s, maybe early 40s, a nice looking couple. He got them to give $70,000. $70,000. This is two people. He told them, go right now and write the check. He didn't want to give them time to think about what they were doing as he was doing his finger snapping and everything else, seducing these people. And he collected 10,000 from 20 people. Then he was collecting 1,000 from I don't know how many people. And all in the name of Jesus, you know. If I were him, I would be careful. I would be very careful about how I use the name of Jesus. Very, very careful. I'd be very careful if I was him. And I wouldn't want to be him. I wouldn't want to be him. What a low life. And really, what a low life Paula White bringing this guy over there to con these poor people into believing that all they have to do is write a check or whatever and their problems are over. They'll face some of the worst problems of their life after this. I guarantee it. They really will. But anyway, as I was doing more investigating about this man, I found out that he's actually associated with a man called Bernard Jordan. Now, some of you may be familiar with Bernard Jordan. I'm not sure if you are. But Bernard Jordan was a disciple of a man called Reverend Ike. And Reverend Ike, let me read you a little bit about his biography. For some of you who don't know him, he's passed away. But he was a New Age preacher who kind of mixed the Bible and Christianity and these New Age philosophies that he had, which were all centered around how to get money. And he actually himself, I think, in one report I read, had 10 or 11 Rolls Royces. And he was filthy rich. It won't do him any good if he wound up in hell, I'll tell you. But it says that he was born in South Carolina. He was of African American and Indo-Dutch Indonesian descent. And he attended a church called United Church of Jesus Christ for All People. Oh, he founded that church. And then he moved to New York City and he bought an old movie theater there in, let's see, where was this? Anyway, he bought this, I'll find it in a minute. He bought this old, it's called the Palace Cathedral. It was a music, it was used as a live music venue. And, It was the old Lowe's 175th Street Theater in Washington Heights. That's where it is. So it says he bought it for $500,000 and he renamed it the Palace Cathedral. Anyway, he called himself a doctor of the science of living. Now, his videos are on YouTube, and I looked at a few of them this morning because I made this connection now, getting back to Paula White and this prophet Pempe that she brought there to her church a few weeks ago. Now, Prophet Pempe is an associate and has appeared recently with Bernard Jordan, who was trained by this Reverend Ike. He was mentored by him. There's photographs of him and Reverend Ike together. They're very spooky, demonic-looking photographs, I must say. Reverend Ike kind of looking like he was sitting on a throne, and it's dark, and there's velvet and red and black, and it's creepy, really creepy. And so Bernard Jordan, now, when he came out, he tried to pass himself off as an evangelical in the 80s and in the 90s. He even came to a church that I attended in the 1990s. He billed himself as a prophet, and he was accepted in many Pentecostal Word of Faith circles. And then a lot of people found out his background and started to question him for some of the things he was saying, which were basically New Age metaphysical terms he was using. And they realized, I think some people did realize, that he was into practicing witchcraft. There's also pictures of him on the internet that I found with, he travels to India at one point of his so-called ministry. Now this is Bernard Jordan. And he has some kind of a thing he might call a church in New York City. He holds these prophetic conferences now. But anyway, he traveled to India, and you see he's got these long braids, and he's wearing a robe, like an orange robe, like these gurus wear from India, if you ever see pictures of gurus. And he's got beads in his hair or whatever, and he's with this other Indian guru there, and he puts that symbol or whatever in the middle of their forehead. They put these dots there. There's something it has to do with their third eye or something like that. So anyway, he's there and he's being trained by these gurus. And he talks about metaphysics. He talks about sometimes the science of the mind, but he gears everything around collecting money, which he's very good at. Very, very good at collecting money. He also has a son named Manasseh Jordan who made the rounds and is probably still making the rounds. He appeared with Benny Hinn. He appeared with Paula White at her church. He appeared on the Daystar Network with Marcus and Joni Lamb. He's appeared on TBN. This is the son of Bernard Jordan, the guy trained by the Indian gurus and Reverend Ike. You know, where's the discernment? Lord, help us, please, help us. I'm telling you, can it get any more bizarre? What is going on? And then Paula White, you know, who people claim, oh, she's a Christian. And I mean, Donald Trump, you better get away from this Jezebel. You better get away from her. She brings this psychic into her church, this Pempe, who's a disciple of Bernard Jordan. You can go on YouTube and look at the videos of them together. It's Bernard Jordan and Pempe. I think it's P-E-M-P-E-H. And they're together, Bernard Jordan has a chair in his office that has gold dust on it. And now we've heard that before, right? We've heard these testimonies of gold dust falling. Like, well, so what? What's that supposed to mean? Please. And, he shows him the chair with the gold flakes on it. And so then they decide that, you see this chair here with the gold flakes on it? He's doing a live Periscope thing, him and Bernard Jordan, Pempe and Bernard Jordan. And they're saying, let's tell the people that when they call in tonight or they're watching on Periscope, that when they send in their prayer request, we're going to put their prayer request on this chair with the gold dust. Oh, honest. But there's the association. There's the association. It's all documented for anybody to look at. The videos of... And I had the audio that I played a few weeks ago of this Pempe guy there with Paula White, who Eddie Long, before he died, he was going and he was getting words and he was spending time with this Bernard Jordan character. So it didn't do Eddie Long any good, did it? Because he wound up dying. He passed away, I think, in January of cancer, so they say. So, but when you see that, and also then Paula White was over at Eddie Long's church a few months ago, too, so-called preaching. And, but where's the discernment? Why are these people accepted in so-called evangelical circles and put in magazines like Charisma, and Jerry Falwell Jr. has Paula White at his Liberty University convocation along with her husband, Jonathan Cain Friga, and promoting her as a woman of God. Yeah. And she brings a psychic to her church. She brings a psychic to her church for three nights who's friends of another psychic who was trained by Reverend Ike. I don't think so. Crazy. It's absolutely crazy. We're supposed to make sure that when we're bringing people, especially pastors, if you're bringing people into a church, into your church to minister to your people, you better check them out and find out what they're all about before you bring them in there to fleece your flock and seduce your people away from the Lord Jesus Christ, which it winds up, that's what winds up happening. But Reverend Ike, now he enjoyed a very long, he was a very charismatic speaker, a very charismatic personality, but a liar. And he had a television program, yes. And he gave degrees in the science of living. And he had a son. Now, here's his son, Xavier. And actually, Reverend Ike's real name was Eichenkoffer, but his son, Xavier. Now, here's Xavier's bio. Now, Xavier now pastors the church. It says that Reverend Ike's son, Xavier, spent 3 years at the Center for Personal Transformation in the study of deep meditative techniques. He received a BA in philosophy from Columbia University and a master's in counseling psychology from Pacifica Graduate Institute, focusing on Jungian and depth psychology. Well, better to hypnotize you with, my dear, right? He's learning all the techniques. He learned from his father. He learned from his father, but then he even went and he did more learning on the techniques of manipulation and how to psychologically profile people. It also says that he studied, now listen to this, he studied shamanic training, which is shamanism, witchcraft, and healing and initiatory drumming techniques with somebody, I can't even pronounce the name. And he studied with medicine men and with the Maasai tribes in Kenya. He learned the art of Dunam, Djembe, whatever it is, drumming, which is also a hypnotic technique that they use with music a lot of times, drumming and different things that they use. So anyway, now supposedly he has taken over for his father who passed away in 2009. Now, so imagine that, you know, imagine going to a place like this. And boy, he could attract a crowd, Reverend Ike, when he was living. I don't know what kind of a crowd Xavier attracts, but so these people are all connected. Reverend Ike, Bernard Jordan, Prophet Pempe, and Paula White, who also, Paula and Randy Wright, White brought Manasseh Jordan to their church before, a year or so before the buildings went into foreclosure and bankruptcy and were bulldozed. This is the guy that they brought in. Well, he didn't do them any good. He didn't do them any good, did he? But I'm going to play a few clips. I want you to hear Reverend Ike yourself. You're going to be shocked, really, when you hear this. It's so diabolical. But people need to know. People need to know. And we need to warn people what's going on, because people are so easily deceived. Everybody wants money. Everybody needs money. We need money to live, don't we? So this is the hook, is that we're going to get you some money And you're going to get it by attracting with the law of attraction, and you're going to attract money. And but we know that in real life, it doesn't work that way. In real life, most of us have made our own financial crises. All of us have done things we probably shouldn't have done. And we make a mess, and then we're running to some preacher to try to help us get out of it. And that's not going to work. It's really not going to work. We have to do what's right. We have to work. We have to not spend buy what we can't afford. We can't covet. And that's the thing that these people appeal to, is they appeal to your flesh. And because your flesh wants everything, right? Your flesh just wants to go crazy. And that's why we have to practice temperance. Temperance is one of the fruits of the spirit. And we can't indulge ourselves in the works of the flesh, because that's what gets us into trouble in the first place. So the Bible also says that the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not covet. And then we're coveting things we can't afford. And we get ourselves into a mess. And then before you know it, some slick preacher is right there to deliver you out of your mess. And to make themselves rich, which most of them have enriched themselves, but with many sorrows. It's like Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his own soul? What's it going to profit them in the end? Just to do anything for money. It's so sad, really, when you think about it. And we just have to be careful who we listen to, who we follow. We have to make sure that we're hearing from God, and we're reading his word, and we're trying to stay strong. But anyway, here's about a 5-minute clip. You're going to be shocked by this, Reverend Ike, if you've never heard him.
For a few minutes, about the power of believing in yourself. And I would like to read a text from the New Testament, Matthew the 9th chapter and the 29th verse. These are the words of Jesus. And for emphasis, I'm going to have you repeat these words after me as I read them. According to your faith, so be it unto you. I want to read these words again, because I want you to really get the meaning of these words. According to your faith, so be it unto you. I'm talking about the power of believing in yourself. And the scripture that I just read, according to your faith, so be it unto you, means you experience life according to your belief about yourself. You students of the science of living, it's time for you to break out your paper and pencil to write down just a few of these sentences that I'm going to give you. Because this is a teaching church. I don't just stand here and give you beautiful sounding platitudes. This mind stuff, this spiritual stuff, if you please, that I give to you is to be used in your daily life, to make your life richer, to make your life happier, to make your life more prosperous and successful. Now, I want you to write this down. And those of you listening by television, you may want to write it down, but be sure that you engrave it on the tablets of your mind. You experience life according to your belief about yourself. And right off the bat, I would like to say something which I say quite often, because it is so important to so many people. This will be a key which will unlock the doors for many. Stop worrying about what other people think about you, and be sure that you think correctly about yourself. I think that's worth a better clap. repeat this, and you may want to write it. Stop worrying about what other people think about you, and be sure that you think correctly about yourself. I have discovered in my ministry that many times people are actually in mental anguish because they are worried to death about what other people think about them. Some of you, the lines in your faces and the hairs missing out of your head are due to the fact that you have practiced always worrying and fretting about what other people think about you. And now I'm going to repeat something which a clergyman perhaps shouldn't say, but nevertheless, it's a fact and it will cure many of you. You are not going to get anywhere in this world. You're not going to get anywhere financially, spiritually, socially, or otherwise until you get to that point where you don't give a damn about what other people think about you. But let me caution you. Just be sure that you are right. Be sure that there is love in your heart. Keep your nose clean and your business straight, and don't worry about what other people think about you. There is power in believing in yourself. And everywhere the Bible says believe, it means believe in yourself correctly. Believe in yourself positively. Believe in your divine self. Everywhere the Bible says believe in God, it means believe in the power and the presence of God in you. Now, believing in a God in the sky isn't going to help you very much, and most of you here know that because you've been trying to get through to the fella in the sky for a long time. You've been trying to get him to send down some of that pie for a long time. And you don't even have the dish that it comes in yet. So we don't advocate believing in a God in the sky. You must believe in the God that is within you. If you ever find God, you will find God within you. You will.
That's shocking, isn't it? Shocking. But yet we hear many of these same terms being used in pulpits every week. Believe in yourself. Love yourself. And you can be a God. You can be a little God. You have the divine nature. And you see, these teachings, they go hand in hand with the occult. And I see somebody in the chat room even mentioned, and Jim Jones, the notorious cult leader who led over 900 people to commit suicide, mass suicide, was also a friend of this Reverend Ike. And he tells you that you have to believe in yourself, and you have a divine nature. And you can make things come to you by your right thinking. Well, we spent years, I know, in the Word of Faith movement for many years, we had these teachings where you had to say it and you had to be careful of your words because you had creative power in your mouth to create situations in your life by your words. But that's basically what this guy is saying. And yet these things are still being taught today. They were widely taught by Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland, Fred Price, Charles Capps. There's been many books written along these lines, but you can see where it comes from. Also, you notice that this man likes to cuss, and they use this technique, and we even hear preachers doing this today. I've heard Paula White cuss many times from her pulpit. And they use this like for shock value. But I don't want to go to a so-called church and hear the preacher cussing. I really don't. But these people are of the devil. They serve their father, the devil. I'm going to play a few more of these clips. This guy, it's just shocking. Just shocking. But here we go. This is a clip with Reverend Ike and Bernard Jordan being interviewed together on a TV program.
Called the Granddaddy of Prosperity, Reverend Ike. And I welcome you both and thank you for being with us.
Bless you.
Both of you have known such controversy in your ministries. You for the last 30 years, Reverend Ike, and you recently, Bishop, as your ministry has grown. Can each of you tell us something about the controversy that surrounds you and your prosperity message?
Mm-hmm. Well, it started with me, as you indicated, some 30 years ago, because it was rather strange then to hear a minister, an evangelist, getting up on television at Madison Square Garden, where we started our television ministry, preaching to people that you should have success, prosperity, and money, and that money is good, because so much of our religious teaching had taught us that money is an evil thing, and that money will somehow or the other corrupt people. And so a lot of people were very shocked. But of course, now I hear a lot of ministers talking about the very thing that I started, prosperity, success, and money.
I know the tide hasn't changed quite as rapidly as you have liked, because Bishop Jordan now experiences the same controversy you did.
Yes, and you know, Dale, I think the interesting thing is that as we bring it to the church, we're finding that there's a lot of Pharisees and religious folks that have a problem in this area. And I think it's important that we begin to provoke their thinking. And Reverend Ike has been a real inspiration to me, because I believe he's paved the way for many ministers that are up and coming and for the body of Christ. And also he let people know that the dream is attainable. And we are beginning to see now that there is a people that are opening up to this. But we are also noticing at the same time that there are individuals that are very closed-minded. But yet, through the controversy, I think it's great, because the church was birthed through controversy. And I think any message that does not have controversy around it is not the message of Christ. And so we begin to see that Paul was stoned for his message. Peter was put in jail for his message. And any message you're not threatened to be stoned by or put in jail for, any message that is loved by the world is a message that is not the message of Christ. So I think that the fact that the prosperity message would stir up adversaries, I think it's great, because it means we're on something, because the enemy only gets upset when you are at a vault that is loaded. He would not be disturbed if we were knocking at an empty vault. You see, no one make noise about someone coming into an empty vault, but people are going to make noise when the vault is loaded. So we're at a loaded vault, and that's why all the ruckus and all of the positive controversy, because it's provoking men and women thinking.
And you know, Bishop, I think it's interesting that Jesus's message, his mission statement was, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me,
yes,
for he has anointed me, number one, to preach the gospel to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
That was number one on his list. And then there was the healing of the broken heart and so on. But the first part of his mission statement was to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, now, what can be the gospel to the poor if it doesn't involve in some way, you don't have to be poor anymore? And Jesus was about abundance. And he said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And you talk about the controversy. After Jesus read that scripture and stated what his mission was, to preach the gospel to the poor, he was literally thrown out of the church.
That's right. That's right. That's right. They wanted to take him over the cliff.
So was I, by the way, you know. I was excommunicated once, and they should have. Because that put me in very good company with Jesus. He got literally taken up and thrown out of the church for saying his mission statement, which begun, "I've come to preach the gospel to the poor." And remember also that that Jesus did work a miracle that involved money.
Mm.
When the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, the IRS is here, and they want our taxes." And Jesus said, "Well, evidently you guys have not been collecting any offerings, because the foxes have their holes and the birds in the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." That's when I wised up and I said, "It'll never happen to me."
Oh, brother. Oh, you know, it does. It just sounds so flowery, right? And then they even bring Jesus into the thing, and they're quoting scripture. Yeah, they know how to quote scripture. Well, yeah, Jesus said to preach the gospel to the poor, but Jesus also said, if you don't work, you don't eat. So what's the gospel that you preach to the poor? Is to try to work, try to do something to bring yourself out of poverty. And it certainly doesn't involve, you know, having somebody come and break the curse of poverty over you, which there is no curse of poverty for a believer. We don't have any curse of poverty. Could have a curse of laziness or something like that, but not a curse of poverty. And they're looking, they're appealing to people, poor people, and telling them, look, you can be rich. But the Bible says to be content with what you have. And don't go running after riches, deceitful riches. Be content with what you have. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. Seek first God's kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. Don't go running after trying to get rich. We realize, yeah, money is a means of exchange that we need, but we can't sell our soul to the devil to get it, which apparently these two have. They're reprobates, insinuating that Jesus was all about money. It's just stupid. Anyway, here he even talks, Reverend Ike even talks about psychic.
Most of the time, when I use the word money, people have a one-track mind about it. They think that money is only the material substance, the cash, the dollars, the guilders, of whatever is the coin of the realm. But the material level of money, which is one of the levels, is really the lowest level of money. Just above the material level of money, cash, is the psychic level, the level of thought. And of course, there the Bible speaks, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And then there is the spiritual level of money, which is the pure realization, I am money.
Mm.
And it was from this realization that Jesus could locate money.
I am money. Oh, that's a new one, right? I didn't know. Did you know that you were money? Whoa. And then Jesus, yeah, Jesus could locate money. Trust me, Jesus said he didn't even think about it that much, because what did he need money for? When he was on the earth, he knew who he was. He never laid down his divinity. He owned it all. So, what did he care about money? He told them, look, pay your taxes, mind your own business, and do what's right, and come follow me. And so we follow Jesus. We obey him. We do what he tells us to do. And nobody can promise anybody that we're not going to have to go through things in this life. We're all going to have to go through things. We're going to have to go through the death of our loved ones eventually, which is difficult. We're going to have to face all kinds of things, illnesses of our children and our parents. We're all going to have to face things in this life. And it has nothing to do with money. If money was the answer for all things, as far as to give you peace and joy, then all rich people would be happy, which they're not. Most of them are miserable. So let's look at a couple scriptures. Let's see what the Bible says. And then I'm going to play a few more clips from this guy because he is something else, this Reverend Ike, who was a very, very destructive man, very, very destructive. I think he probably wound up destroying many lives, many families, and anyway, let's look at Jeremiah 14:14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Lamentations 2:14. The prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. Whoa. Second Kings 17:13. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. I mean, God warns them. He warns them. He warned the false prophets of Israel many, many times. And most of them didn't heed. They didn't meet a good end. Jeremiah 23:26. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. And that's basically what's happening, is they lust after what they want. They lust after what they can't have. They'll do anything to get it. Hurting the very people that are sitting in their congregations, the wounded people that are going to church to be uplifted, to be ministered to. Many are brokenhearted. Many are facing all kinds of problems in their life. They're going to church for fellowship, for refreshing. And yet these greedy manipulators have no heart for the people that are coming to them. How could they stand in front of these people day by day and look at these hurting people, and yet all they can do is look at them with dollar signs in their eyes and to take what they have, and yet to do it in the name of Jesus? Oh, which is the worst? Jeremiah 14:15, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. It's not going to end well. It won't end well for these people. It won't end well. Liars, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Especially to lie in the name of Jesus, to use God's word as a way to hurt people. It's nasty. You know, it's Psalm 119:128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Amen. Proverbs 11:1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Also, we have some scriptures here about sorcery. Now, that's, these people are sorcerers. They're practicing witchcraft. And that's all it is, really. And, you know, it's a form of witchcraft and manipulation that they use, and they're very good at it. Even I noticed in this Prophet Pempe, when he's in this video with Bernard Jordan, false prophet Pempe, because he's no prophet, he does the finger snapping while he's talking, which is a technique of hypnotists. They use it for some reason as a way to bring people under their hypnotic spells, which many of them do very successfully in these so-called church services. Leviticus 19:31, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Remember, and I remember when I was in the Word of Faith movement, and we, whatever new prophet was coming to town, wow, we wanted to run over there and attend these prophetic meetings. Everybody was always seeking after a word, especially a personal prophecy, because we wanted to hear about ourselves. And usually they'd have these very glowing prophecies about yourself, that you were going to be some great one going somewhere to happen. But most of us realize that, you know, there's only one great one, and it's not us. That's for sure. I mean, that's for sure. But they always try to flatter you into believing that you're something you're not. And a lot of times I found that my friends, when they'd get these personal words, these personal prophecies, then they'd have to, then they would have to try to make the thing come to pass. And a lot of lives were destroyed like that, because they'd get these prophecies, and a lot of these people were never going to have large public ministries. Like, what does that all mean anyway? But they promised them that they're going to have fame and fortune. And a lot of these people, they just don't have the it factor as far as being able to have large ministries. They don't have the gift for public speaking or certain gifts that are required, which a lot of these people have. Now, some of them really have no charisma at all. I don't understand why people are attracted to them. But, you know, it's some form of charm, I guess, is what draws people to many of these false prophets. But a lot of people, when they receive these personal prophecies, then they have to go and try to make the thing come to pass. And they do so many foolish things that winds up hurting them in so many ways. But don't go running after a word. If you need a word from the Lord, you get it at home. God can speak to you all by himself. Like they run to these prophets, and the prophet tells them their name and tells them their address. Well, so what? I know my name. I know my address. You're not telling me anything that I already don't know. So most of the time anyway, it's a bunch of foolishness. Leviticus 20:27, a man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. You know, that's the Old Testament. Leviticus 20:6, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. 2 Chronicles 33:6, and he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also, he has observed times, which is astrology, and used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards, he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. 1 Chronicles 10:13, so Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even the word of the Lord which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. And that's a word really for Donald Trump, I would say. Don't be counseling with a Jezebel, Paula White, that has a familiar spirit. Run for your life from her and keep her away from your children and your wife and your family and from this country. Please, Lord, help us. Got Jezebel counseling the president of the United States. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. Awful. 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Isaiah 19:3, and the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and to the wizards. And that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing today in the so-called church. We're seeing people run after these wizards, run after these charmers, go from meeting to meeting, go from offering to offering. And they never have success. They never have peace. They never have prosperity because they're chasing after the wrong thing. They're chasing after the wrong thing. It's like I said before, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. We get up in the morning, we live our lives, we work, we do our housework, we do whatever we can do. We spend time with the Lord. We spend time in fellowship with our friends. And we don't worry about tomorrow. We pray, we ask God to meet our needs. We call upon our Heavenly Father who loves us with his great love and his great mercy and compassion. We ask him to help us to get through the day, to help us to pay our bills, to help us to keep the roof over our head. We call on him and he hears us and he answers us. We totally are dependent on God, and how great that is, really. So what more could we ask? Jesus came to the earth and died for our sins so that we could have life, and we can have the abundant life of knowing the peace of God and the joy of our salvation. So we as Christians, we have a better way. And we have to have a better testimony to the world. How awful it is for the people of the world to see this kind of Christianity or so-called Christianity. And that's what we want to tear down, especially in this year of 2017, the year, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And of course, there was other reformers before Luther. He wasn't the first reformer. And the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ always was. It was just, you don't hear much about it. You hear a lot of history about Luther. And but Jesus always had a church of true believers. It wasn't just the Catholic Church, although the Catholic Church would like you to believe that. And at the Reformation, there was these so-called people called Protestants that were protesting the Catholic Church. But I don't call myself a Protestant. I'm a Christian. I do protest the errors and of the Catholic Church, but I protest the errors of any false religious system. But I am a Christian. I am a Christian. So let's hear a little more from this Reverend Ike. There's some very shocking statements also that he makes about telling people that they are I am, and just awful.
The very best of life, you must believe that you deserve the best. Too many religious people are taught to believe that they don't deserve anything. And some religious people even pray that prayer. Oh, Lord, I know I'm not worthy. I'm going to ask for some confessions on national television. How many of you have ever prayed a prayer like that? Lord, I know I'm not worthy. Come on, up with those hands. Chicken. I know better now. I know the truth and I'm free. But listen, anything that you don't feel you're worthy of, you can't have. Anything that you feel you do not deserve, that you're not worthy of, you automatically cut yourself off from that good. Listen, you cross yourself up when you pray and ask the presence of God in you for something. And then you say, now, Lord, I know I'm not worthy. You might as well forget it, honey. Right. Believe that you deserve the best. Now, let me give you a bombshell. I want everybody to get quiet. Everybody just walk and sit in the nearest empty seat. Quickly, listen. I want you to hear this. If you ever heard anything, I'm going to tell you something that's only going to take 10 seconds to tell you, but I want you to hear this if you forget everything else I've said, because what I'm about to tell you will bring you anything good that you desire, and it will bring it to you quickly. It will bring it to you in the nowness of consciousness. Listen. Anything that you can actually think and feel that you are worthy of must come to you. Don't clap yet. Hold on. I want to be redundant about this. Please listen. Hang on to every word. Anything that you can honestly think and feel that you deserve must come to you. If any person in this congregation are listening on the radio or looking it on television, if you can honestly think and feel that you are worthy and deserve $1 million, that $1 million must come to you. Which we call the science of living, we say it this way: whatever you want in your experience, hold it first of all, accept it first of all in your consciousness. If you could get $1 million feeling, $1 million would have to come to you if it looked like it was dropping out of the sky. It wouldn't actually be coming from outside of you. It would be coming from within your own consciousness. And of course, this is one of the great mystic secrets. Nothing really comes to you from outside of you. Everything comes to you from within your own consciousness. Everything comes to you from within your own inner feeling about yourself. Not according to what others think and feel about you, but your experiences come to you. Your cursing or your blessing, your good or your evil, comes to you out of your own inner consciousness. And once again, let me make the startling statement. If any person could honestly feel and think that he is deserving and worthy of $1 million, that $1 million would come to him so fast until it would make his head spin. Now, wait a minute. We've had an example in this service. Mother Packnett, who used to be the blind old lady and who was healed. And she was taught by me in many of our services that we deserve the best. This is what I teach the people, that you deserve the best. You deserve the best because you're God's child. You don't have to beg God for anything. The day of begging, praying is over. This is the day of accepting the goodness of God.
What a deceiver. What a deceiver. Yet a lot of those catchphrases that he used, many of us have heard many times on so-called Christian television and from pulpits. We hear it today. We hear it today. And notice the foolishness of the people there when he says, and you can attract, and if you believe that you can get $1 million, that $1 million will come to you. And the people applaud, oh, $1 million. Well, how many of those people are ever going to see $1 million in their life? Most of us will never see it. Most of us will never see $1 million. That's a lot of money. But yet, we see that today in churches. Oh, offering time, blessing time, let's give the Lord a hand. And then you have people applauding about the money. It's ridiculous. I mean, of course, you know, we get excited if we get some extra money or somebody blesses us. Yeah, we get excited. But they want you to believe that. And they want you to get excited about the fact that you're giving the preacher some money on Sunday. And wow, how exciting. And how exciting it is that I'm going to think that I can draw $1 million to me. And because I can believe it, I can have it. Well, we hear those teachings, don't we? I mean, Kenneth Hagin was one of the biggest proponents of that. You can have what you say gospel. He wrote a book about it. You can have what you say. And a man that I was associated with for a few years, Norville Hayes, he was a big one too on the positive confession. Remember sitting next to him one time when we were at a softball game, and I was playing softball for the first time in my life. I didn't like it. I sat down. I know I didn't want to get hit by a so-called softball that wasn't soft. I didn't want to get hit in the face by it. So I sat down next to Norville and we were talking, and I said, he said, how come you're sitting, you're not playing? I said, well, I don't want to get hit in the face with that ball. And he said, ooh, don't say that. Don't make that negative confession. Don't make that negative confession. I was only, you know, stating a fact that I didn't want to get hit with a ball in my face without a helmet on, without any mask. There we were, a group of girls. That they wanted us to play this game of softball for the Bible school. And we're out there. We don't have helmets on. We don't have any kind of face gear on. And this ball is coming at us like at 80 or 90 miles an hour. And we're standing behind this stick, this bat. Like, no, I'm not playing softball. No, forget it. So, yeah, I was making a bad confession. Wow. Anyway, I'm going to play one more clip here. From the so-called Reverend.
An old cliche that I'm always saying. You hear me say it all the time. It's in almost every lesson. Health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money. Let's hear it.
Health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money.
And mind you, these are not idle words. Every word has power. My every word has power. Let's hear it.
My every word has power.
Say it again.
My every word.
See, these words are creative. And by that I'm saying, I am healthy. Let's hear it.
I am healthy.
And you'd better say this every day.
Every day.
Well, Jason is here today. My goodness. I am full of the joy of living.
I am full of the joy of living.
Say that even when you wake up in the morning and you feel like hell.
All right.
And interestingly enough, when you wake up in the mornings, usually the first thing that you will meet is your feeling nature.
Yes, sir.
But never don't follow your feelings. Tell your feelings how to feel and make your feelings follow you. So let me hear you say again, I am full of the joy of the Lord.
I am full of the joy of the Lord.
Say it again.
I am full of the joy of the Lord.
Somebody may be saying, but Reverend Ike, suppose I say that.
And
I don't really feel that way. Keep saying it until you feel it. How many of you have heard of Mary Kay and her products? She has a very interesting statement that you have to understand. I'm going to lay this on you before I quit. Never take a preacher seriously when he says he's quitting. Let me tell you that to begin with. Here it is. Fake it till you make it.
Well,
now you've got to understand that. I'm not telling you to be a fake.
No.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm not telling you to be false. You've got to understand this. Now don't go out here and say, hey, Reverend Ike is teaching those people how to be fakes. This is a psychological, metaphysical statement.
Amen.
Now that we understand that, let me hear you say again, fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it.
And I was reading a story about Mary Kay. She was going down the hall in the hotel once, and she spoke to one of the maids and said, well, honey, how are you feeling today? The maid said, oh, I don't feel so good today. I just don't feel so. And Mary Kay shook her head and said, oh, no, 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 honey. You've got to fake it till you make it. In that same metaphysical sense, that's what the Bible tells us when he says, let the weak say, I am strong. So if you wake up in the morning and you don't feel good, tell your feelings how to feel by saying something like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Let's hear it.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Say it again.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Say it again.
You know, the ironic thing is, too, that this guy didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He didn't even believe in God. Notice in the first clip that I played where he says that, oh, don't be looking for that guy in the sky. He's telling the people that they're God, he's God, and they could get whatever they want by saying it and believing it or whatever. But then he makes them recite these scriptures, and really, he basically has this crowd exactly where he wants them, in the palm of his hand. Why are they quoting scripture? They don't believe it. They don't believe that the Bible is the word of God. It is really, he was really a master of deception. I'm going to play one last clip, and then we'll close.
Now, I want to make this personal, and I'm going to put it over in the first person. My word,
my word,
is what I think,
is what I think,
feel,
and say
about myself.
About myself.
And it's an interesting thing about your word, because the lesson is about how your word becomes flesh. By becoming flesh, we mean that what you think, what you feel, what you say about yourself is always coming into visibility as your experience. What you think about yourself, what you feel about yourself, what you say about yourself is always becoming incarnate, always coming into form as your experience. Now that's the law. As a man thinks, so is he. Say that.
As a man thinks, so is he.
Say it again.
As a man thinks, so is he.
Now listen to this. There is nothing that you can do to alter that law that as a man thinks, so is he. There's nothing that you can do to alter the law that your word becomes flesh. Your word becomes expressed as your experience. But there is something that you can do to control your experience by controlling your word. You can control what you think. You can determine how you feel. And you can learn to control your mouth. Surprisingly.
Amen.
Now, I know for some of you that's difficult. But it can be done. Say with me, it can be done.
Yeah, well, he certainly didn't learn how to control his, did he? The lying devil. The lying devil. Anyway, I think we have a caller. We just have a few minutes left, so. Did you have a comment, caller? 561?
No, I'm just listening to your show. I'm writing down, I'm just, it's just really beneficial
okay, then.
Right now.
All right. God bless.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, that's the program for today. And anyway, next week I might elaborate further on this because I kind of wanted to bring in some of this prophet Pempe. And if you want to go to YouTube and do the research yourself to study this, Prophet Pempe, it's P-E-M-P-E-H for Peter, P-E-H. He calls himself Prophet Pempe, but he's not. He's not a prophet. He's a false prophet. And he was, like I said, he recently was at Paula White's church. He is also appearing with Bernard Jordan, the psychic New Age metaphysical guru of sorts. He calls himself Master Prophet, but he's really practicing witchcraft, the dark arts. He's a dark arts expert, but you can see that. You can make the connection between Paula White and Pempe and Jordan and the rest of them. They all fit into the same category. Like the old saying says, birds of a feather flock together. Well, these people are drawn to each other because they love money. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And we see that it is the root of all evil, and we see it. And we want to avoid it at all costs. Amen. And keep ourselves unspotted from the world. So don't forget now, the most important thing today is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins? The Bible says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Read the book of Romans today. Get out your Bible and read the book of Romans. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then ye must be born again of the Spirit of God. Jesus said that. So if Jesus said it, then it's true. It's not being born into a church or because your parents were Christians. You have to make a decision for yourself to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to ask him to come into your life, ask him to be your Lord, ask him to forgive you of your sins, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, every single one of us. There was only one perfect one that walked the earth, and his name was Jesus. And he came to show us the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through him. It's the only way to the Father. Jesus Christ is a real person. He's alive. He's our living Savior. He was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he's coming again to rescue us. Hallelujah. So great a salvation. Amen. And heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. So is hell. So is hell. And there's no escape from hell. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. But there is a place called heaven, and we want to go there, and we'll forever be with the Lord. Amen. So be comforted. God bless you all. Thanks, everybody in the chat room. Thanks for coming. And we'll see you next week, okay? Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies far. foursquare. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.